You're listening to Power of the Cross Radio, where the message of the cross is changing lives. And now, it's time for a powerful word from Pastor Farrell Wilson, straight from the heart of God's Word. Brother Wilson is the pastor of the Lighthouse Church in Grenada, Mississippi. Now get ready to be encouraged and challenged by this sermon.
Matthew chapter 10, starting at verse 34. This is Jesus speaking. Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I'm come to set a man at variance, meaning odds, against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall they of his own household. He who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who takes not his cross and follows after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life shall lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake shall find it. Let's pray one more time together. Lord, we love you so much. And I need your help this morning to preach. Lord, without the help of the Holy Spirit, it's just vain words of a frail human being. But with your help, Lord, the Holy Spirit can take that word and plant it into a man or woman's heart, and there it'll bring much fruit forth. And we trust in you with your word today that it will not come back void, and we ask it in Jesus' name, and we say amen. I know you're looking at that weed eater in this title and going, what in the world is he fixing to preach about? Well, I'm going to tell you. There is a hill out here off to the, if you're looking down this way off to the right, I have come over the years to know it in my mind is the unwanted hill. And I'm going to tell you why I call it the unwanted hill. Nobody volunteers to weed it. I promise you, we can get 1 million volunteers for everything around the church, cleaning, doing some tasks that are not so pleasant. But that hill right there, I have not had one person come to me over the years and say, Brother Wilson, I'd love to do that hill for you. And I'm no different either. I kick and grumble when my turn comes up. Sometimes I have to do things like that. Nobody looks forward to it. It's hot. It's difficult. It's dangerous for me. I mean, somebody like me that limps and you're trying to walk up a hill, it can be dangerous. It's time consuming. The weeds grow fast. And if you ignore it long enough, it becomes absolutely overwhelming. If you let this stuff get deep, I don't care what kind of weed eater you got. It just becomes a task. It is very hard to do. The Lord spoke to my heart and said, you know, there's another hill that people avoid. And that hill is the hill my son died upon, Jesus Christ. Is nobody wants that difficult task. And I hope y'all understood what I said. When I said people don't want it, I'm in the same boat. I've never jumped up and said, boy, I'd like to weed eat that hill. But just as that hill is difficult to weed eat and maintaining, very few people naturally desire this very difficult path to discipleship that we call Christianity or following Christ, whatever you want to call it. You know, Jesus never promised an easy road, not one time. I've read this gospel many times, and every time I read it, I cannot find one place in there where it says your walk with Jesus Christ is going to be an easy road. In Matthew 10, Jesus says something that is very profound, and as we look at it today, it still kind of makes us look twice. Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace to you. In fact, what I'm going to proclaim is going to bring division with so much it will even be in your very own family. Now, Jesus didn't intentionally come to bring strife in the family, but he knew preaching the cross of Calvary would cause people, even within their own family, to start dividing. And we know this to be true. In some of you, you know this all too well, that your family, there are members that are not going to agree with you when it comes to religion. The Christian life is often that unwanted hill. But listen to this. That hill is often or is the place where the greatest work of God is accomplished. One I want you to look at, I'm sorry if you can't see it, I try to make these things bigger. If you can see the first one there, the path is steep. Jesus said in verse 38, and he that taketh not up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. The first thing you notice is that steep hill demands effort. Now, I can preach a cross to you all day long, and I will, that our faith in Christ and Him crucified not only saves us, but it sanctifies us. But you can't just casually stroll up this hill. You can't take it just when you want to. You must lean forward. You've got to pay attention. You've got to keep moving. Likewise, following Christ is not the easy road. There may be people in here today that are not saved. I have no idea. I don't know every one of you. But I can tell you, if you started this journey even today, that it's not going to be an easy path. I know there's going to be ministers out there to tell you, oh, you get saved, you'll never have another problem. I'm here to tell you the one that's the most rewarding thing and fulfilling thing you'll ever have on this place called earth. But I'm also telling you in the same breath that following Christ is going to be very difficult at moments. Jesus never advertised Christianity as a comfortable lifestyle. And I really blame the modern church a lot for what we're seeing. They tell people how great it's going to be. And there's so much truth in that. But there's also those times you don't understand. And you have to lean forward into it. And you have to keep going when you don't understand what's going on. You know, Jesus spoke of crosses and sacrifice and persecution and surrender. The world wants comfort. Oh, give it to me easy. I'd like to have that Joel Osteen type gospel where everything's just great and everybody's got pearly white teeth and looks great. I want it comfortable. I don't want to have to sacrifice any. I want the convenience. You know, don't interfere with my free time, Lord. You know, Christianity costs something. It took you effort to get here this morning. It would have been so much easier for you to say, I'll sit at home, and I won't even bother with going to church this morning. I'll wake up in the morning, maybe I'll pray later. Maybe I'll read my Bible later. Maybe it's so serious that you're even saying, I don't know if I follow Christ right now because I don't want Him to interrupt my life. I was that way when I was young. When I was in, believe it or not, I was 16 years old one time. I just didn't come out the womb old. I was 16 years old at one time, full of vigor and full of life. I got in the military. It seemed like I could do anything. I was like a mini Rambo. And I was at that stage where I said, you know what? Maybe later. Maybe later. And people are looking for self-fulfillment. What can God do for me? How can He change my life here on this earth? But here's what Christ calls you to, self-denial. You have to deny everything about you and everything you think you can accomplish under your own willpower. There's a call to obedience. I'm put out with the modern world that I'm seeing and people claiming to be Christians. And they're saying Jesus out of one side of their mouth and there's filth coming out the other side of it, or their actions in life are not showing that obedience. Oh, well, God is, He's dealing with me and you should accept me the way I am. No, my friends, the gospel is a call to obedience. No, you're not going to get it right every time. Everybody is chock full of mistakes. Everybody commits sin in this life. But still yet, we are called to be obedient, and that calls to a commitment. This Christian life will call you to a commitment. The road to Calvary was very steep for Jesus, literally and figuratively. The road of discipleship is also steep for you. There are going to be things God is going to call you to when you accept Jesus Christ. You're going to have to change things. I won't say give up, because everything that's been replaced in my life by Jesus Christ is so much better than what the world would have to offer. But yet every step that I journey on this road, and some days it's difficult, I'm one step closer to Him. I'm going to tell you what's at stake. We could talk about all the things in the world. We could talk about the money. We could talk about the life. We could talk about popularity, the things I do and don't have. But today, here's what is most important, and what is at stake is your eternal soul. Because one day, The Bible says that every knee shall bow. That means in heaven, that means on earth, and that means even down in the very pits of hell. One day, you will bow the knee to Jesus Christ, be it here or in eternity. That's what's at stake, is your eternal soul. You know, many people want the crown before the cross, and it just does not work that way. Next, it takes time and patience. You know, this hill out here never stays clean. I remember when I first got here, there was somebody already cutting the grass, and it wasn't much money. I just knew the grass would get cut, didn't pay much attention to it, and rocked on a few months down the road, and we had a rainstorm, about half of that hill washed away. And I'm thinking, what in the world is going on out there? I noticed there wasn't any grass, and the guy that was cutting it, he was taking Roundup and spraying it on the hill after he cut it one time. And I went to him, I said, "Sir, we can't be putting Roundup on that hill. It has to be cut." He said, "Well, that's not the $60 plan you're on. You're talking about the $150, $200 plan." I said, "Well, we can't afford that right now. I guess I'll have to weed eat it." And, you know, you could spend hours clearing it, but what happens with that hill eventually, them weeds are going to grow back. We want to spray Roundup on it, make it easy so we don't have to come back to it. And discipleship, believe it or not, works similarly. Spiritual growth is rarely instant. That's why Jesus said, take up your cross daily. I'm also telling you today, within that obedience and commitment, that when you do follow Jesus Christ, there's going to be times of growth throughout your entire walk. You're never going to ride the super Christian. So take off your crowns, wings, and halos. I'll preach over here a minute. You can set down your crowns and halos and wings on this earth, because I promise you, you will never be perfect. There will always be that uphill battle. In this society we live in, we want instant victory. We want it now. Give it to me now. I read something about younger people in this age. Generation Z, I can't keep up with all the generations. But take from the age of about 14 to the age of about 25, 30 in that area, they process information. I believe it was 10 times the rate of my generation does. Meaning they can sit there. You know, I've taken up for some of these young kids. They'll be on their cell phone and they're doing things. They're hearing stuff around them and listening to you, and you don't think they're listening to a thing. Oh no, they're taking it in. But with all that information, in this quick gratification, it doesn't apply to Christianity. Christianity sometimes is slow. People want instant maturity. Kids are growing up 30 times faster, probably more than that, than when I grew up. Man, when I was 14, 15 years old, we were still playing on bicycles outside. Nowadays, they're riding around in Mercedes. Yeah. They got jobs and money, man. I'm thinking how quick the kids mature, and they want instant answers. That part I can help you with this morning. If you're a young person this morning, and if you're under 40 years old, I consider you a young person. But this also applies. I see some of y'all looking down. I'm not young no more. You just told me I wasn't young, Brother Wilson. But I can give you an instant answer. And His name is Jesus Christ. Everything you're looking for in this life, everything you're trying to be, everything where you think you're headed, if you'll put Jesus Christ in the middle of that, I promise you, you will find the answer you're looking for. But sometimes it's going to take a little patience, and sometimes you've got to go through the process. Luke 21 and 19 says this, "In your patience possess ye your souls." That's what Jesus Christ said. He said, sometimes it's going to take a little bit of time as you journey through this life. Jesus spent 3 years training His disciples, and they still didn't get it. They understood some, but they still didn't get it. It took much more than that. It took a lifetime of learning. The cross itself was a culmination of God's plan unfolding for thousands of years. You think of that. The cross of Christ was in God's mind even before the Garden of Eden. I don't have time to explain it today, but Scripture points that out very well. The Bible, as you go from Genesis 1 and 1 all the way to the last amen in Revelation, it is the story of Christ and Him crucified. If you want just a, y'all remember the things called cliff notes? I see all y'all old folks shaking your head. Yeah, I remember cliff notes. That's how we cheated when we was young. We didn't have a phone. We had to get cliff notes. Teachers hated them. They couldn't, they maybe, you might tell me later, Miss Sherry, but when I understood, teachers couldn't stand them. But he gave you just a, if you, instead of reading the book assignment the teacher gave you, you could read cliff notes and get the idea of, and you could probably fool people into thinking you read the book. But here's the cliff note for the Bible. I want you to read it, but here's the cliff notes. It is the story of Christ and Him crucified. And when you place your faith in Jesus Christ, not only will it save you, but in your daily walk, all those rotten things you keep on doing and you're trying to find victory over, you're trying to find every way to live right, you don't know how to do it, you're seeking and you're not finding, the power you're looking for is in Christ and Him crucified. And when your simple childlike faith is in that finished work, there you'll find the power to live. There you'll find what will sustain you over this journey called life. But many believers quit because they become so discouraged of how long this growth takes.
We want to take just a moment to thank you for listening to Power of the Cross Radio. This ministry is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you, would you consider giving a gift today? Every donation helps us continue to share the message of the cross around the world 24 hours a day. Visit us online at www.cross.radio and click on how you can help. There you can give by secure means. Thank you for standing with us as we bring Christ and Him crucified to the world. Now back to the sermon.
I'm in that boat. Lord, when are you going to send this? Lord, when are you going to do that? And Lord, the Lord is saying, be patient. But you know, every day spent following Christ is just another section of that hill being cleared. There's been times when I've did this hill out here and the ones at my house, especially at my house, we've got, you know, to me, we've got a lot of land, and I have to take it a little bit at a time. I can't do it all at once. This old man here, we've got 20 dead pine trees from the ice storm, and I suckered my oldest son into coming out yesterday. I forgot what I told him we were going to do, and he found out I had a chainsaw waiting on him. And we got out there, and I couldn't drop all 20 at once. I had to do a little bit of time. Mike and Larry, they helped clear this tree out here. Big tree we have fell in the yard. And I would tell them, hey, don't try to do it all at once. You're going to kill yourself. It's hot out here. Take your time, and we'll get it done. And you know what? Little by little, that tree would disappear. Little by little, the weeds will get gone. Little by little, things will change. And so it is in your Christian walk that if you'll take it in little times, in little slots, and let God grow you a little bit here and a little bit there. Watch the church grow. Watch yourself grow. Faithfulness is not measured in that one spectacular moment, but in consistent obedience to Christ. It's not a marathon. I say this many times. Too many Christians, they get saved and they want to take out running and do everything for Christ all at once. That's a natural reaction. It's good that you want to please Christ, but don't burn yourself out in a sprint. Pace yourself. This is a marathon. This is not a 100-yard dash. We are looking at eternity, and eternity is going to be a long time. Live for Christ daily. And number three, there's no shortcuts. I talked about the roundup a while ago on the hill. You can't put round spiritual roundup on your life and expect things to just work out like that. The cross cannot be bypassed. In this day and age we live in, I'll speak of something that I have experience of. I was bound by meth. I was a full-blown alcoholic. Anything evil in this world, I loved it. That was who Pharrell Wilson was back in July of 2005. It's been 21 years now. And I was running from Christ. And I've watched people in similar situations. And they think there's some type of shortcut. Oh, we got rehab. Oh, we got celebrate recovery. And they sound good. If it helped you, amen. But I can promise you, nowhere in this Bible will you find there is a shortcut. You're still going to come back to Calvary if you want the victory. One reason that heal is difficult is because you can't simply spray it away. If you've done it right, you're going to get your hands dirty weed eating. If you are doing Christianity right, you're still going to have that uphill walk to Calvary. You must, I better not say that. You better let the Holy Spirit do the work. I was about to say you must do the work, but I have to be very careful with that because there's no shortcut if you work in your way to Calvary. You can't work your way there. You can believe your way there. You can trust your way there. You can put your faith, your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's no shortcuts in Christianity. People want blessings without surrender. Oh, give me the good stuff. I'll tithe, Brother Wilson, that part you said about tithe, and I want the windows of heaven to open up for me. I will share this with you. Although I can say without hesitation that the Lord has blessed me abundantly through my giving. Abundantly. But there's also been days that I've gave and been broke as a flitter. Whatever that means. I know the old people used to tell me that. I'm broke as a flitter. I don't know what a flitter is. But I've been there. I know what being broke like a flitter means. If you know what a flitter is, let me know after church. And you're old too if you know what a flitter is. They want victory without the cross. You can't get victory without the cross. You can't make heaven your home without Calvary. There's no way. You can't do enough good. You can't live without the cross. And too many Christians are trying this. They're trying to live without the power that comes from Calvary. And I'm not just talking about some little feel good for a moment. I'm talking about a supernatural power that's not of this world that will help you live the way God intended. They want a resurrection without a death. I bet I could go out on Facebook today and find 20 preachers easily that are preaching about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They want that power, resurrection power. But they don't want the death that comes along with it. I'm here to tell you, if you follow Jesus Christ, if you know Him as your Savior, you've got to die. I'm not talking about a physical death, of course. I'm talking about a spiritual death. See, there's something inside of each and every one of you this morning called the sin nature. I had to figure this out. Back in July of 2005, I got saved. I realized I was rotten. I asked God to save me, and He did. And along this journey, though, I kept going back to some of the same things, and I didn't know why. And I eventually discovered in my study and listening to other preachers, this is what was wrong. There is a sin nature inside of each and every one of us. It's a side of you. There's nothing you can do about it. You were born with it. It is what causes you to rebel against God. It's called the sin nature, the evil nature inside of each and every one of you. You possess it from birth. I heard Lauren Larson say this. If you don't believe that statement, throw a couple of 2 and 3 year old kids in the same room and throw one toy in the center of them, and you'll see the sin nature quickly. And it just grows and grows as we get older. And here's what I figured out. The only thing that brings that up under control is my faith in what Christ accomplished at Calvary. And when I place my faith in that, then that divine nature that's implanted in me upon salvation is what begins to take control, and that's where I get the victory. Many people want crowns without crucifixion. You want the rewards of heaven, but you don't want that crucified life that Paul spoke of. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, yet I live. I've been crucified with Christ. And that means all the ability I thought I had, all that was within me that I wanted to please God, I have to let God take it and smite it, so to speak. And I have to live by His will and His power and His agenda, not Pharaoh Wilson's. Jesus said this in verse 37, I read to you, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. I have dealt with this myself. Matter of fact, I won't say any names, but this happened this week. I had a person within my wife's family that was so bound up on water baptism. We believe in water baptism. There's baptism right back here we put in here. And I think you should be baptized in water when you're saved. I think there's points in your life you may need to be rebaptized. That's between you and the Lord. But there's nothing about that water that can save you. Then this man was telling me how I need to be baptized the right way. I said, well, I've been baptized in water. I got baptized back in 2005. Well, how'd they baptize you? And I'm thinking, well, they dunked me under the water. No, how'd they baptize you? In whose name? I said, well, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Oh, you ain't been baptized right then. What do you mean? He said, well, you got to be baptized in Jesus' name only, or you're not saved. I said, so you're telling me right now that I stand here and you're telling me you know better than God and I'm not saved? That's right. I said, you know, you can dunk yourself up under that water until you're waterlogged. I don't know if you've ever seen a person that's waterlogged, but it's not a pretty sight. You can keep going up under that water. You can do it under any name you want. And it doesn't save you anymore. Again, I'm not speaking against water baptism. I believe y'all be baptized in water. And to be honest with you, if you get baptized in Jesus' name or in the name of the Trinity, you know, to me, you've been baptized in water. That's me. I'm going to baptize. If I baptize you, I'm going to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. This went on and on. He got to telling the whole family how we were wrong, how we were sending people to hell, and that they were holy, never made any mistakes in their life. And this past week, I won't go into detail, but something happened in their life. They found out they wasn't so holy. And it's wrecked their relationship. It's wrecked their church relationship. The whole gamut in their life is destroyed because of sin. And you know, he hung on to those religious efforts. But there are no shortcuts in this walk. You have to come back to Christ and Him crucified, or you'll find yourself. I could tell you this. I'm not high and mighty. I make mistakes just like you. But the day that I move my faith away from Christ and Him crucified, you'll read about me in the paper. You'll hear something bad about me. Because that is the only thing that will save you and sanctify you. There's no substitute. There's no shortcut. There's no alternative route. The flesh is always looking for an easier path. Brother Wilson, tell me anything other than what Jesus Christ did at Calvary. I can't, because there's no other path. This is what God teaches. It is a complete surrender into the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. The quickest route we look for is often not God's route. The cross remains the only path to true victory. Last but not least, the beauty is revealed when the work is finished. If all that was a little hard for you, well, you're going to like this part. We've done got the hill weeded. If you go out there and look now at the hill, to me, it looks so good. It's pretty. Is cleaned off. The hill looks different after the labor is put in. When that hill is overgrown, all you see is the weeds. But after the hard work is done, something very beautiful happens. The shape of the landscape emerges. The property looks cared for. When people pass by, they see it, say, oh, you know, they probably may not notice when you do it. But you let it grow up, they'll notice. I'll get a text, Brother Wilson, that church is looking rough down there. Are you even pastored? And what was hidden now becomes visible. There's a little steep hill there that's pretty. But it becomes visible after all the cleaning up is done. And the same is true spiritually. That 5 hours, No, 6 hours at the cross on a Friday afternoon was a very ugly place to look at. It looked like defeat. It looked like failure. That's why his disciples were hiding when Jesus Christ was crucified. They thought he failed. They just knew he was coming back to set up his kingdom. But here they find themselves and they look up and there's their Savior naked and hanging on a cross. Do you know he was beaten so bad? They said that they laid a cat of nine tails into his back. And when the lictor would pull back the cat of nine tails, there was bone and metal and everything else. And then when they would pull back, flesh would rip off. Most scholars believe that Jesus, you could probably have seen his insides because all the flesh was ripped off. He had this crown of thorns planted onto his head. We're not talking about a little sticker bush. We're talking about thorns that are like nails. Blood running down his head. The Bible says he bled out every last drop of his body. He had a spear ran through his side. We know it pierced his sack around his heart. You have a sack around your heart that has water in it. And that's why the Bible says when they pierced his side, the water ran down mixed with blood. That's why the Bible says that, to let us know that the spear was run all the way up into his heart. And you're one of the disciples looking at this man has told us he is the king. He is coming to save Israel. And they're looking at Calvary. And we know one disciple was there. My mind's eye, maybe the others were off in the distance. I don't know. We only know of one that was there with family. But they were aware of what was going on. But as you look at this whole picture, it looks like defeat. And I'm going to tell you today, I don't think it's much different with the modern church, in my opinion. Because they see Calvary. You're telling me all I have to do is keep my faith in Jesus Christ to save me and to sanctify me and give me the power I need to live? Oh, no, Brother Wilson, there's got to be more than that. We've got our denomination. We got our rules. We got our leaders. Surely one of them could save us. I'm here to tell you that won't save you. This church is not going to save you. If you got your faith in me, oh, woe is you. You're going to die just as lost. If you got your faith in me, if you got your faith in any preacher, any minister, you're going to die lost. Your faith needs to rest in the crucified one. That hill that looks so ugly to the world is what saves us. But listen to this. Hebrews 12:2 says this. Who for joy that was set before him endured the cross. Jesus saw beyond Calvary. He saw redemption. I can say this honestly, and I believe this after reading the Bible and studying all these years. I have no problem saying this. When Jesus Christ was on that cross, you were on his mind. We're talking about the God of all creation that was hanging there, and his omnipotence, his omnipresence, him knowing everything. You were on his mind. He saw salvation. He saw the church that he would help birth. So what appears difficult today may become beautiful tomorrow when God's work is complete. Don't look at where you are today. You may have a bunch of weeds growing in your life. It may be a mess. Brother Wilson, you don't know the problems I've got. I may not specifically know the details of your problems, but I know you're human and I know you're facing a lot of things just like I am. Younger people today, I talked about them earlier, are facing things we never faced in our world. They're facing drugs that'll kill you with one hit. They're facing pressure like never before. They're watching political parties argue until they're blue in the face. They don't know who to trust. They see a million and one things going on in churches. They see church leaders fail in a very horrific way. They're seeing our world come apart before their eyes, and they're asking, who do we trust? It seems like all the weeds are growing up around me. Where do I put my faith and what do I do? Know this, in Romans 8:28, God says this, God will work all things for the good, or together for the good, for those that trust in Him. Let me say that again. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. That hill is beautiful out here because somebody was willing to do difficult work. The yard is kept up because somebody was willing to go out and do the difficult part. Life becomes beautiful when believers are willing to put their faith in that finished work of Christ. The beauty is not found in avoiding the hill. The beauty is found in what God produces through your climb. So what I'm telling you, you may have a grown-up soul of weeds today. The weeds may have taken over your life, is a better way to say it, spiritually speaking. But when God is finished with this, what beauty can be revealed? I'll close with this. Calvary was a hill nobody wanted. And still to this day, many will avoid it despite their claims. The disciples fled from it. The crowd mocked it. The religious leaders celebrated it. Oh, look what we've done. We finally got rid of this rebel. And Satan thought he had won. Yet God transformed the most unwanted hill in history into a place of redemption for every single human on this earth. And every believer eventually encounters this unwanted hill. If you don't encounter it today, or if you've never encountered it, one day in your life you will encounter this unwanted hill. It's a difficult calling. It's a painful season to realize who you are. It's a costly act of obedience. It's going to change your life. I promise you, if you don't know Christ today as your Savior, if you make that decision today, it's costly. And there's going to be a cross to carry. Jesus didn't ask you to avoid the hill, though. He asked you to follow Him up it. Hallelujah. He's asking you to come up that hill. And I know this about God. Despite the times it may be difficult, He's never failed me. But now, I've journeyed up that hill and it was difficult getting here. I'm not done. But the journey I needed to make, it was difficult getting here. But God has been with me every step of the way. And you're fighting today. You don't have the answers for where you're at. But I promise you, if you'll start this journey, it's going to be difficult. But I am telling you, Jesus Christ will be with you every step of the way.
Thank you for joining us today on Power of the Cross Radio. We pray that this message from Pastor Farrell Wilson has strengthened your faith and drawn you closer to Jesus Christ. To learn more about this ministry, visit us online at www.cross.radio. Until next time, keep your eyes on the cross, where victory is found.